CityTalk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. CityTalk 105.9. The best of Roy Basnett.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast. Each week we bring you some of the best moments from our award-winning programme on CityTalk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. This week, we're going to hear from a chap who's had some very frightening experiences. Bill Bean told us about his family that was tormented and destroyed by a demonic force that occupied their house. Have a listen.
CityTalk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett.
Thank you for having me on with you.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure, Bill. I've got to say, on the information that I've received with regards to your predicaments, for want of a better term to use, it's almost like the storyline to Amityville Horror, this, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, it's sad, it's tragic, but I'll tell you this, I'm far more blessed than I've ever been cursed, and I can never thank God and praise God enough for delivering me from this evil.
Tell us a little bit about yourself before we actually get into the story, if you would please, Bill.
Well, who I am is a man that has had a multitude of experiences with the unknown, a lifetime of it. I have done battle with actual real demons. On several occasions in my life. God has delivered me from this, and now I see myself as someone that I guess you could call a deliverance counselor, someone who is now trying to help as many people as I possibly can, and I pray that God will continue to work through me to help others. And it's just absolutely astounding, Roy, at the amount of emails I've got from people all over the world, and there are so many people in need. And I'll tell you, I really take it to heart, and I feel so bad for people because I've been there, and I just want to try and help as many as I can.
Right. Well, tell us, please, if you would, Bill, about the story of yourself in Baltimore, Maryland. What happened in the house that you had there?
Well, we moved into the house, which is the house is actually located in Glen Burnie, Maryland, which is a few miles south of Baltimore.
Right.
And we moved into a three-bedroom ranch-style home in 1970. And the house was really semi-dilapidated. My father was a master carpenter, and he saw this as a project that he could restore the house. And he did. But my first impressions of the house were very frightening ones. The house had an ominous look and feel about it, so I just knew from the beginning. Now, I was 4 years old when we moved there. And I have an older sister who was 13 at the time and a younger brother who was one. And just from the beginning, I just knew that something wasn't right. It didn't feel right. Mm. And I don't even know why I felt that way. At the age of four, I shouldn't have felt like that.
No. Right.
So that's where it began. My mother actually was the first to experience phenomena in the house. A couple days after we had moved in, my mother was unpacking boxes in the living room, and my father had taken us to his parents' house for the day to leave my mother alone and let her focus and organize and things like that. And during the course of this, she felt a presence behind her, and in her mind, she thought that my father had snuck back into the house trying to startle her. And he had a sense of humor like that. And so she spun around, fully expecting to see him, and she was hoping to startle him first. But when she turned and spun around, nothing was there. Mm. So she was quite startled by that. And she was able to collect herself and go back to what she was doing eventually. And it wasn't long after that, a few minutes later, one of the bedroom doors slammed shut, and that was enough to make her go outside. So that's where it really began.
And when that happened, how did she feel? What was her reaction to that? How did she explain it in her mind?
Well, I'll tell you this, Roy. The story actually goes further back, to be quite honest with you. I believe something attached to my mother's side of the family in her, probably even before she was born. I think this goes way back. And my mother had experiences in her childhood, and I believe something actually attached to her, and it led us to this house where evil was already manifested. So I tell people that we were really involved in a two-pronged attack of evil, and it truly contributed to the destruction of my family. I can't emphasize that enough. And so I'm sure she was quite startled by what had happened, and certainly must have been, you know, for her to go outside and wait for us to come back. but prior to that, she had experiences early in her childhood, right. and I have photographs that corroborate that as well.
But this was a real upping of the bar, really, wasn't it?
This
had taken it up a level, yeah.
Yes, when we were led to this place, I'll tell you, Roy, this entire area is affected by some type of evil force.
Really?
Yes. When my story aired on Discovery Channel show A Haunting, I was contacted by so many people in that area that were having problems when they lived there or they're currently having problems now. I believe it has something to do with a structure that's located 2 miles south from the house called the Wishing Rock. And this structure is a gigantic boulder-like structure that seems to be placed there. It's in the middle of the woods. It's about 3 stories tall. It doesn't match with anything else.
Is there no explanation as to why it's there?
Right, exactly. And according to a man by the name of John Romine, who wrote a book called The Enigma of the Wishing Rock, according to his research, there were several tribes of Indians that used to worship at this structure. And they felt that the structure had supernatural powers, and it's quite possible that maybe someone had opened a vortex or something evil had come through, and it's just affected the entire area.
Right.
I was recently on a major radio show a few days ago, and the response from that was tremendous, and a lot of people, again, from that area,
yeah,
saying, let me tell you what happened to me, and you know, you're so right, this, and it just corroborates everything I'm saying.
Right. Well, let's go back to the story then, if we can, please, Bill. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning that your mother was in the house, this presence that you thought, she thought was the father behind it, turned out not to be the case.
Correct.
What happened after that? What other things? And give us the kind of, like, the sequence of events that led up to the real nasty stuff, if you would, please.
Yeah, well, I'll be as brief as possible.
No, it's okay. No rush, mate. You take your time.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you. Yeah, it started with those feelings of presence and the noises. We would hear... my parents were the first to hear this. It sounded like someone walking in the attic. Mm. Now, in these houses, the attics in these homes were very, very small, and an adult could not stand up and walk in the attics.
Right.
You would hear that, and then we had a rocking chair in the living room that would begin to rock by itself, and then you would hear footsteps coming down the hall. Now, the way this house was set up is you would enter through the front door, and you would go right into the living room and just paint a picture for you. The walls, very dark paneling, very dark brown paneling. Mm-hmm. So this house was dark even in the daytime. Just had the same kind of ominous feel, you know, the frightening feel that I described about the outside. It was the same thing on the inside. And the hallway, now, as you would enter in through the living room, you would make a right and go down a long hallway, and that's where the bedrooms were located in the bathroom. And the hallway was hard tile. It's a hard tile floor. And you would hear walking in the hallway at times, and it mm-hmm. sounded like the entity had hard sole shoes on or something, because the reverberation coming off those tiles, you know, it would reverberate right off the paneled walls, and it was
yeah.
very loud.
Mm-hmm.
And my father actually jumped up one time in the middle of the night to confront what he thought was an intruder.
Yeah.
And nothing was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it started with that. My sister was actually the first to have physical contact with these entities, and that was in late 1970.
And what happened there, Bill?
She was in her bed asleep late at night, middle of the night, and something woke her from her sleep. And she couldn't see anybody or anything, and she was startled by it. She was frightened. She was going to get out of bed and go and get my parents, and as she did that, something grabbed her leg.
Wow.
Thank God for her, she was able to let out a scream, and that alerted my parents and woke them up, and they ran into the room and stopped whatever was about to transpire. So that was the first physical contact, and then the following year, that's the first attack that I suffered. I was 5 years old, and pretty similar to her in the fact that I was in my bed asleep, middle of the night, something woke me up. I couldn't see anything, couldn't see anyone there, and I got frightened. and I started to get out of bed. I was going to go and wake my parents up. And as I did that, something grabbed me by my shoulders and slammed me back to the bed on my back. And I just, there's no way to describe the amount of fear I had. Just felt like I was going to leave my body or something, like my heart was jumping out of my body. I felt like I was going to die. Yeah. I just couldn't. Can you imagine? I mean, 5 years old to have this kind of trauma.
Imagine's all I can do. We're talking about Bill Bean on City Talk 105.9. And Bill is an internationally acclaimed author and lecturer. And as you can see, or you can hear from what we're talking about, quite a disturbing past in his home at 5 years of age. Pretty difficult to deal with something like that, I would have said. I mean, was there, before we move on with the story, your parents' kind of take on that, were they, was there ever a case where they said, listen, you're just a five-year-old child, you don't, these things are just in your imagination, or did they believe that something was not right that was happening in the house?
Well, I guess yes and yes on that. They knew something wasn't right, but my father would not admit that in front of us because he didn't want us to be any more afraid than we were. And he was a very, very, my father was a good man. He was a very hardworking man. As I said, he was a master carpenter and very good family man. However, he had a very tough, stern side as well. And he was a very strong and proud man. And he would not, you know, did not want to get into the dialogue of accepting this or whatever. But after that experience with me, being held down and many other things happened during this experience as well. It's in the book.
Just remind us what the book is, if you would, please,
Bill. Oh, sure. Yeah, Roy. The book is called Dark Force. Many things happened during this experience that I was just describing, and it seemed like it went on for hours, but I'm sure it was only minutes. And I'll just say that after the experience ended, I was able to get out of bed and move, and I couldn't, I'll tell you, while this was happening, Roy, I couldn't move anything. I tried to scream out for my parents, and my mouth wouldn't even work. The only thing that worked on my body were my eyes. And just absolutely, and I've probably told this story over 200 times, and every time I tell it, I just get chills because it puts me back in that.
How did this particular episode conclude then, Bill?
Well, it concluded with the manifestation of an apparition at the foot of my bed. As I stated, many bad things were happening to me during this experience, and then this, what I believe to be divine being, manifested at the foot of my bed.
What did it look like, Bill?
A beautiful lady, long blonde hair. She had a long gown. It was like a, I want to say white, but probably would be more accurate to describe it as a very, very pale blue, and it was shimmering. And I felt comforted by her. I felt loved by her. And as she manifested and appeared, the bad things that were happening to me stopped. So that's why I say I have no doubt this was a divine being.
Right. So this was somebody that was on your side in the overall scheme
of things. Absolutely. And the most incredible thing about it, Roy, is this being looked exactly like my mother.
Right.
And so she stood there at the foot of my bed, smiling and gazing and comforting me. And I was calming down. I was able to move. And then she turned and floated up through the ceiling.
Right.
After that, I jumped out of bed, I raced into my parents' room, I woke them up, and, you know, my father was saying, oh, you had a bad dream, go back to bed, and my mother ended up taking me back in to bed, and she stayed in there with me until I fell asleep. But that was the first experience for me, and I had that experience many times while being in the house.
Right.
But the true, I guess the true person that bared the brunt of this the most, the person that bared it the most, was my mother. She suffered more than anybody I've ever known in my life.
Tell us about some of the things that happened to your mother then, please.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. Now, I stated to you earlier that my father was a good man, and he was, but unfortunately, wasn't long after we moved into the house that his character started to change, and not for the better. And I'll say by the year 1973, let me briefly tell you what happened there before I go into this.
Okay.
My sister actually ended up running away in the middle of the night, and it was in 1973. She married a young man in the neighborhood, And she stated in the Discovery interview that she would have married anyone just to get out of that house. She just couldn't take it anymore. And so that really kind of weakened our family structure when she left. And then the
was her wanting to leave as a result of the change in your father's character?
No, because of the entities. She couldn't.
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah, she couldn't take it anymore.
Okay, and, I'm with you now.
So she ran away, got married to a young man in the neighborhood, and after she had left, that's when my father's character really began to take a more sinister turn. Mm-hmm. And he had actually began to drink heavily. He was staying out in bars quite a bit. Now, my father had his own construction business and was doing quite well for himself, but everything began to fall apart for him. He got lost in the drink and began staying out at, you know, in bars quite a bit, and then actually began physically abusing my mother on a regular basis from 1973 to 1975, and he nearly killed her on several occasions. And I can recall being 8 years old having to run and call the police on my father. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to tell you, Roy, that I absolutely hated him. This was a man that I saw as a hero, and then I just had just great disgust for him, and I loathed him. I couldn't even look at him, and just absolutely a horrible thing to say, and praise God I was able to forgive him before his death. So we had a kind of a semi type of relationship before his death, and so I'm grateful for that, but I'll tell you, this was just truly horrible, and he left us in 1975, and when he left us, the entities began attacking my mother on a regular basis. So my mother never got a break.
They just picked up where he left off.
Absolutely. And I have no doubt in my mind, based on what I saw, that these demonic entities were able to enter him when he was in these drunken stupors and actually drive him to try and kill my mother. I have no doubt about it. And had he stayed, I'm sure he would have killed her.
Right.
So it was a blessing that he left.
So what kind of things were happening as a result of these entities in the aftermath of your father's departure from the house?
My mother was being attacked regularly by two entities.
In what way was she being attacked, Bill?
She was being awakened out of her sleep, and these entities would come, and they would begin to choke her. And she always had scratches and cuts and bruises. You know, well after my father had left, and she was being picked up and thrown, and many, many horrible things happened to her, and none of us ever got much sleep in there, I can tell you that. And
what was the worst particular incident that you can think of that happened?
To her?
Yeah.
There were many, but I can tell you one. Middle of the night, being awakened by an entity that looked like an undertaker, a very sinister-looking entity, black suit, black hair, black beard, very chalky white skin. The eyes were black, and this entity was choking her. She was being attacked, and this divine being that I described earlier actually aided my mother as well on several occasions, and actually moving these entities away and off of my mother. And it was during one of these episodes that my mother, after the episode, my mother got up, was gasping for air, went up the long hallway into the kitchen to grab a glass to get something to drink, and something actually, an unseen force, actually used the glass as a projectile and smashed it into her eye, busting her eye open.
Oh, wow.
And she was knocked unconscious. She was lying in a pool of blood, and she had to be taken to the hospital.
How did you explain to the people in the hospital what had happened?
I don't recall, but I'm sure that my mother didn't, you know, tell them exactly what had happened, the truth. You know, how could you?
Yeah.
But certainly back then, you just couldn't talk about these things. My mother was so ashamed by all this. She did not seek attention from it. She did not want us talking about it. She was just very embarrassed and ashamed. And I'll tell you, we all just, at this point, now it was my mother, my younger brother, and I, just the three of us, and we were just so drained. And that's how the demonic works, Roy, you know, when it gets in, it'll affect one family member first. It'll go to work on that person.
So what was the period of time between this actually starting, in terms of years, starting to where it ended then?
As far as the abuse or?
Generally, anything up until the point where, did you move out of the house?
Yeah, we left in 1980, so we endured over 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years.
Of this in that house, and
did
I look.
Sorry,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So no, it's okay. But I just wanted to know whether or not did you seek any kind of exorcism, maybe, or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we had a priest involved for the last 16 months that we lived there,
okay.
And unfortunately, the activity got worse and even more violent with his involvement.
And the priest witnessed all this.
He was part of it. Yeah, he was a frequent visitor, and it got to the point that he was bringing mason jars full of holy water.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
when you first made the approach to him, this is Bill Beam we're talking to on City Talk 105.9 this morning. When you first made the approach to him, did you or your mother went up and said, "I have a problem in my house. I need the services of a priest to perhaps perform some sort of exorcism." Is that how your mother approached it?
Actually, no, Roy. It didn't happen that way. We're not Catholic. And we had very little religious upbringing. I'd never been to church one time as a child. And my mother's stepfather was Catholic, and he went to his priest and said, "Hey, they need help. This is what's going on." And that's how the priest got involved.
Okay, right. So what kind of things did he do initially?
House blessings. He did many house blessings. And, you know, the first thing, he came in and sat down and talked with my mother at length. So he was very aware of everything that had happened and everything that was happening in that time frame, and it got to the point to where we had a number that if things were really bad, we could call him in the middle of the night. It just mind-boggling. It was very difficult for me to write this book, and because I had to put myself back in to some of those situations, and I'll tell you, it affected me greatly emotionally for quite a while. And when it was done, I actually felt lighter. That I was able to get all this out.
Got it off your chest. Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
Was there if you like, an ultimate battle then at any point during the priest's involvement in your house?
Yeah, and that ultimate battle took place with me. I was 13 years old at the time, 1979. It was the first battle I had with demonic entities. And I just witnessed my mother being picked up by an unseen force and thrown in the air literally across her bedroom. She landed into her makeup table, and she was cut open and bruised and scratched, and it pushed me over the edge. Now, prior to this, I'd had a lengthy conversation with my uncle, my father's brother, who was a very religious man, and I felt that God worked through that man to reach me with the power of faith, and it was the first time in my life that I actually felt empowered. We had just been victims for so long, and we were so drained by everything that everything was matter of fact. But on this occasion, after having that conversation with my Uncle Cliff, I felt empowered for the first time, and I believe God was working through me that day. And I actually engaged these entities in battle. Like I said, after seeing my mother attacked like that, I grabbed a Bible and I grabbed one of the mason jars full of holy water, and I called these things out in the name of Jesus Christ. And as I did that, the entire house started vibrating. It was like a small earthquake. Things were falling off the walls. Things were flying around. It was like a scene from a horror movie, except for this was real. And I went through the house. There were five adults with me. None of the adults were speaking. I was the only one speaking. And I continued to call these entities out in the name of Jesus Christ. And at one point, they actually did manifest in front of me, four entities.
What did they look like?
One of the entities was that Undertaker entity I described.
Yeah.
Another entity had the look of a redheaded male with, again, this pale, chalky skin. And the eyes were also black. Scar, very sinister looking. Another entity was a female that had the look of a witch. Very sharp facial features, long black gown. Long dark hair, and then the fourth entity is what I call the dark force entity.
Bill, I've got a number of pictures which you have sent to me. We've got these on our website at citytalk.fm. Now, the first picture that I'm looking at under the title of Bean Family with Cousin Debbie in 1969, it's the family picture. There's a Christmas tree on the left-hand side, a picture on the back of the wooden panelled walls that you mentioned earlier. What am I looking for in this particular picture?
Actually, that's just a shot of just the family, just to describe, just for people
right.
to see, you know, the members of the family and,
I got it.
You know, how it was prior okay. to being in the house.
Now, the next one, Mom with the Beans in 1975. What are we looking on here for this?
Okay. You see her there. She's on the telephone.
That's right, yeah.
And if you will look in the mirror, do you notice, do you see the big mirror behind her?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay, look to her left. There is an oval-shaped mirror, and you will see what looks to be a gigantic alien type of looking face in that mirror.
Yeah, I see, yeah. Like looking her side on, isn't it?
Yes, and if you look further, look to her right, and there appears to be another probably 3 foot tall little alien guy beside her, and you can see the flash of the camera coming off the top of his head.
Right, yeah.
And that picture was taken in 1975 in the house.
Right, okay. And we've got the picture, which, if I'm not rightly mistaken, is on the front cover of your book, Hooded Demon 2000. Tell us about
Correct.
That picture and where that picture was taken, please, if you would, Bill.
Now, again, I've engaged in battle with this entity on several occasions in my life, and that photograph was actually taken at my current residence in the year 2000. And just mind-boggling.
So the demons are following you around then, Bill?
Well, I tell you, I fight a battle, Roy. I'll tell you that. And again, I can never thank God and praise God enough for delivering me from this.
Yeah.
But, however, it's an ongoing battle. So I have to stay steadfast in faith, and God is my strength and my protection against these things.
Yeah, and this is interesting because you didn't, as you mentioned earlier in the interview, you didn't come from a religious background, and now you seem to get your strength from God.
Oh, absolutely. I can't stress it enough, Roy. If not for God, I wouldn't be giving this interview right now, and I probably wouldn't be here on this earth right now.
Okay. Tell us about this other picture, Divine Being, 2002.
And there's another confirmation for me that God is with me, because that photograph was taken over my backyard, you know, here in Baltimore, Maryland. And just there's no mistaking it. I've never seen anything like it in the sky. And, I mean, it's just, it was beautiful. It was a blessing. And that's something I hope to see again.
Mm. And I get the impression that the final picture that I've got here under the title of Hell House would be where it all went on back in the days of your youth.
Absolutely. And if you really look at that picture, I don't want you to take it in too much because I don't want anything to come on to you. But if you take a good look at that, you just may... a lot of people say it, you know, just by looking at the photo, that they can feel the negativity and that ominous feeling.
You get it. You do get it. As soon as you look at that picture, you think, wow, there's something spooky about that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. So when was the most recent battle that you've engaged then, please, Bill?
Well, the most recent one was probably just a few weeks ago. Whenever I feel something, every once in a while, if I feel that something is amiss and I can feel these things, then I'll automatically go and banish these things in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. I feel we all have the power to do that. Anyone who has faith in God or accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior has the power to banish these things. And that's part of my message too, Roy, is I'm just trying to lead people out of the darkness, because it's just mind-boggling the amount of people that are just under siege by these things, and it's just ruining their lives.
Mm.
So the most significant battle that I've had with them was in 1988.
What happened then, Bill?
That was a case of, and I can't tell you who it happened to. I'll just say that it happened to a loved one, and it was a 22-day demonic possession, and it was one of the most, if not the most, draining experience of my life. And I engaged in battle against these demonic forces, and it ended in an exorcism by a Catholic priest. And I'm sorry to say that the priest didn't come away from this unscathed.
Really?
Yes.
What happened to him?
According to, now again, I have not seen this man, but John D. Romine, the man I mentioned that wrote the book, The Enigma of the Wishing Rock, actually has me in the book and made mention of my story and things of that nature. And he sought out this priest to get the story. And I had a heck of a time finding him, and then did find the man in some type of facility. And the man is not well. And he said the man has been there for many years and suffering symptoms of dementia.
As a direct consequence of what happened with himself?
Yes, according to him, yes, absolutely. And I can believe it because I can tell you this, when this first happened, which had happened late on a Saturday night, early Sunday morning, I got in contact with a nearby church, and the following Monday, the priest did come, and he wasn't in the house 5 minutes, and this was a very large man, and he was seated in the chair at the table with us, and something actually flipped this man over in his chair, just flipped the man right over, and he landed on his back in the chair. And I helped him up. He excused himself. He went into the bathroom. He came back, and he asked me to step outside and told me that, you know, no question the evil was present, and he was going to be making contact with the leading authority, I guess the exorcist in Maryland. Mm. And so that's how it all began. But unfortunately, he ended up coming in the middle of the night, late on a Sunday night, and he was heroic for doing what he did, but I guess he wasn't really prepared. Hmm. And as he came and did this exorcism on his own, and I actually stood with him and assisted him, he was affected by it. And right. I'm sorry to say that. I'm very, very sorry.
Bill, we've got to conclude on that one, but just remind us again about the book and the website, if you would, please, Bill.
Sure. The book is called Dark Force, and the website is www.billbean.net. The book can also be ordered on Amazon.com and Lulu.com, but the easiest way is to order from my site, billbean.net.
Right. And, of course, if you want to see the pictures of what Bill has been talking about, you can visit our website. It's citytalk.fm, preceded by the W's. Bill Bean, thank you very much for speaking to us on City Talk.
Thank you, Roy. God bless you, and I hope to talk with you again soon.
And that's it from this week's podcast from the Roy Basnett Show on City Talk 105.9. Don't forget, you can join me live on the radio each weekday morning between 2 and 6 a.m. on City Talk across the North West and North Wales on 105.9 FM or DAB Digital Radio. And of course, you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. That's it for now. We'll catch you next week.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett. Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.